Morning and happy Father's Day again to all the fathers here. Today's scripture passage is Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. And would you stand with me in honor of the reading of God's word? Starting in verse 8, remember the Sabbath day. To keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Thank you. You may be seated.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Father's Day, dudes. A couple things. If you haven't met Pastor Jacob is not here. He is with the kids. He's been there all month. He needs your prayers. He's actually serving with the big group time over there. It's been really fun for him. I think it's kind of refreshing for him. And if you don't know who I am, my name is Greg Deacon, and I'm the other pastor here now, which is weird to say, Adam, right? Yeah, it's kind of weird to say. I have a couple announcements. One is there is a men's breakfast coming this Saturday. I've already mentioned this before. I want to give you a little bit more information. The guy who's coming is a really great speaker. He has a really interesting testimony. He just got out of prison in March, and he's been there for the last 17 years serving in church. A little bit more background. He was falsely accused and was tried by a non-unanimous jury. So there's a lot of really interesting things going on with his testimony. But the main thing is, how was he faithful to God amidst all the trial and adversity? I really encourage you guys to come. I really do. It is going to be a sweet time. It's at 8 o'clock. This Saturday. Joyce Allen would be very angry with me if I didn't mention we have a youth dessert auction as well. That is going to be next Sunday. So in your bulletin, you can open it, you can see it. There's a fancy QR code for a fancy website where you guys can register to bid on all of these goodies. They go to our youth camp that we're going to this summer. All of the kids who are participating are getting funds. For those who aren't, hey, you know, if you don't work, you don't eat. But come and support that. That is a sweet thing. And then finally, on July 2nd, we have our baptism splash night, is what we're calling it. So it's pool time, it's ice cream. There's a whole lot of park area out there. So it's just a really great family time for us as a church. We'll celebrate in baptism. If you're interested in baptism, fill out your connection card. Let us know. And then also, Justin is being, like, super humble this morning. He's like, hey, happy Father's Day. Emma, they just had their baby on Tuesday. So it's really exciting. I'm going to Ember Lila. And if you want, like, weight and, like, you know, this stuff, I don't know it. So go bother Justin. He really wants you to bother him about that, right? Yeah, okay, for sure. I've worked since I was 16 years old. I began as a stonemason, so that means you put rocks on a wall and then you do it again, and you do that for a long time. But then I kind of fell into HVAC, so it's like the heating and air conditioning side of life. I oversaw a service department when I was doing that, so I had new trainees and I would show them the ropes and, you know, show them the company's ropes, help them build their skills. There was one guy that I really remember working with, and it was kind of a bittersweet relationship we had. But God used him to help me see the value of his pattern for work and rest. This man was not a believer. He just moved across the country after graduating from trade school and being in the military, and so he wanted a life change. We would drive around for like 2 to 3 months, and I would give him some tips on the job, and then he would like challenge my beliefs in return, which was always really cool, and I would challenge his. And I asked him, what does he like to do on the weekends? He's mostly alone. He's not married, no children. And he would answer, that what he really like to do is like get drunk and play video games. Cool. We had not a lot in common. But it's not the first time you hear that. I mean, it is a super common thing. We hear about, or maybe we do this, we use our free time as a way to escape from our work. That's what he was doing. It's as if to say the work he was doing was oppressive and he needed to be away from it. And I think it's safe to say that a lot of us are just working on pouring ourselves out for the weekend, as if that were the point of our work and our rest, to escape. And we've all talked like it, like even little comments, like, man, I can't wait for the weekend. This week at work was brutal. I can barely say week at work was brutal. It's like the point of our work is to get away from our work. Everybody's working for the weekend. And after talking, well, this isn't like the first time we talked about this, right? What are you doing this weekend? Everybody does this. But after this one time, I was struck with this thought. This is kind of the big picture. What if God gave us the Sabbath to give value to our work? What if our rest in God informs our work and our lives of a greater purpose? And I think it helped me think more intentionally about what I was doing at work. Not just what I was doing, but who was I doing it for? Evaluating the purpose of it and the purpose of my rest too. The way I rest really matters, and the way that I work really matters, because both are a gift from God. Just like the preacher in Ecclesiastes says. He says in chapter 3, what gain has the worker from his toil? I have seen the business that God has given to the children of man to be busy with. He's made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he's put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. I perceive that there's nothing better for them than to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. Also, that everyone should eat and drink and take pleasure in all his toil. This is God's gift to man. God's gift to man is to enjoy our work and take pleasure in him. And I am convicted this week about my work and my rest. I'm the kind of guy who's pretty much a workaholic. And so I struggle with what to do when I'm supposed to be resting. Like, oh yeah, it's time to rest. What should I fix? That's what I tend to do. And if you're like me, you know that struggle. It can kind of feel endless because everything needs done. Rest is insufficient and it's inefficient and it should be avoided. But some of us are just the opposite. So instead of struggling with efficiency and work, we embrace laziness. We just let our television rule our eyes. We kind of want an ease that rests on the backs of others. Or maybe, like, I think I was talking with Dan, like our household appliances, right? They carry the burden for us. It can feel that rest is purposeless and distant, and that work is interpreted as something to be avoided, to escape. So we've been in these Ten Commandments the last couple weeks, and as a reminder, they were given to Israel to instruct them on the kind of people that they are supposed to be. Everything commanded to Israel can inform the church, too. How ought the covenant people of God live in reflection of his character? Out of God's great mercy, he gave us a whole day out of seven to rest in his grace. While devoting an entire day to God doesn't seem efficient, it's important. This morning, we're going to look at the rhythm, that rhythm of work and rest. 6 days of work and a day of rest dedicated to God. A Sabbath is a day of worship, mercy, and rest. So the commandment this morning is going to come in three parts. We'll look at the first verse, which is verse 8, which kind of tells us the what of the Sabbath. The next two verses are going to talk about the how of the Sabbath, and then finally we'll get the reasoning at the end. The hope I have is that we leave understanding that while we're not under the law of the Sabbath, the church should still practice Sabbath rest, because the Sabbath reveals God's desire and pattern of healthy work and rest. And we can see that holy work, the work that we're called to, is not complete without holy rest too. So I'm going to ask you to pray with me this morning as we engage this text. Father, I pray that you would help me to speak clearly from your word this morning, and that you would help us to see the gift of work and rest that you've given to every person. Teach us what it means to rest in you, Father. What does a holy Sabbath look like? And tell us why it matters, God. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So let's start with verse 8. Verse 8 says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." The Sabbath is a funky word we don't use all the time. It's a word that means rest or ceasing, like stopping. So really, the Israelites are told, stop commerce, stop common work, the things that you do normally, right? Like, don't prepare your food. Items shouldn't be sold, put the iron away. The ground shouldn't be worked. This is a day to cease from all of their labors. And they're told that they should remember it as well. So, like, what exactly are they supposed to remember? He just told them, right? When did we first hear about this? They're actually already familiar with it. If we go back to on their way to Mount Sinai, they've left Egypt, we see that God has actually been providing the manna for 6 days out of the seven as their week for sustenance. And that's in Exodus 16. The Lord says to them, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Tomorrow is a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake and boil what you will boil." That should be on a pillowcase. "And all that is left over, lay aside to be kept till the morning." They're supposed to collect a double portion of the stuff the day before because they are not to work the following day. The Sabbath is supposed to be kept holy. And they're already familiar with the pattern because that's how they got their food. That's how they got their num-nums, guys. They had manna coming from heaven. They remember this already. They've been practicing it every week, but it's still new. They've only been out a few months. So this command to remember the Sabbath is more than just like thinking about it, right? Like, oh, that was cool, the bread came, and if we don't pick it up, it'd get really stinky and rotten and stuff. Like, that's nice. That's not the kind of remembering we're talking about. It's more like my anniversary is coming up, right? So it's more like, honey, you know, we're still married. Like, it's not really a good look. It's probably better to, like, remember it with dinner or flowers or a hike or watching birds, right, Katie? Yeah, okay. Something nice. You practice it, though. That's how you remember it. You practice it. And it's the same with the Sabbath. You can't just tie, like, a string on your finger and be like, oh, cool, it's the Sabbath. I should rest today. But you don't do anything. Remembering demands the total engagement of our person in it. And in the Sabbath, we do that in the service of God. To keep it holy, that means it's a sanctified day. It's a day that is set apart for a sacred purpose. It sounds kind of highfalutin, but I mean, it's kind of just resting with a purpose. But to look at how we rest, we have to start by looking at how we work. And that's where the Sabbath begins. It begins with the proper understanding of work. By working 6 days a week, it means everything from our jobs, house projects, cooking, cleaning, repairing, and getting the oil changed is done then. Let's take a look at verse 9 with me. 6 days shall you labor and do all your work. Life verse. That sounds like an exhausting way to live, even that alone. But it doesn't mean we need to work all day, every day. The point of it is that if we don't set one day aside, there would be no Sabbath. If we work every day, we have no rest. At the same time, if we rested every day, then we don't really have a Sabbath. There's just nothing set apart about it. It's not holy. It's not separate. But proper rest begins with proper work. And if we look at the creation of man in Genesis 2:15, the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. Adam and Eve were not condemned to work. They were created to work. And before sin, there wasn't the desire to escape from it. This is what we're here to do. This is the whole point. But the work became difficult because of our sin. In 3:17, cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorn and thistles it shall bring forth for you. And you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. The labor of our work has changed. It's worse because of sin, but it doesn't change the fact that we were created to work and to keep God's creation. I would guess the Israelites had a very unhealthy view of work. 400 years in slavery in Egypt to Pharaoh would make your heart grow pretty cold to work. There was likely little to no rest. A holy ceasing, or any ceasing, is non-existent. It was endless, improper, unholy work. I think it's interesting. In this command, God could have said something like this: 6 days are to be holy for me, and only one for your work. That would have still been better than what Pharaoh demanded. But he says the opposite. He allows man to do the work that he created them to do, to cultivate and to keep his creation, and devote only one day as holy to him. I think this is a sign of God's graciousness, not to reestablish the work patterns of slavery when they were under Egypt, but to establish a pattern of work and rest that reflects him. I hear in the church, I hear more about busyness, depression, and anxiety over any other spiritual condition. We crave a release or a escape from ourselves, from these kinds of temptations to feel that way. And like me, some of you feel the need to work 7 or 8 days a week. And I'm not putting that on anybody else but myself. That's something within me. But this week, the question was kind of nagging me about my tendency for overworking. It's like Israel was to Pharaoh. My question for myself was, am I enslaved to it? Do I need to work 7, 8 days a week? The truth is, we can't work our way into rest. But we work right when we rest. So let's talk about rest. What is the Sabbath rest look like? I'm going to read verses 9 and 10 out of Exodus 20. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. Keeping the Sabbath holy is more than just idle resting. It's setting apart the day for God and his glory. And in Leviticus, I know we all want to go to Leviticus. In Leviticus 23, bear with me, we read that the Sabbath is supposed to be a holy convocation. That's a word we all use all the time. Here's what it says in verse 3. 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work. It is a Sabbath to the Lord in all your dwelling places. Just restating the commandment, but the convocation thing. A convocation is like an assembly, okay? Not like for school, more like right now, when we're meeting together on Sunday mornings. Like a congregation. It's when we worship together as a people. That's a convocation. So the Israelites would gather together on the Sabbath to worship God. They'd meet in their homes, and they'd share meals, and they would reflect on his goodness. Even Jesus would continue this practice. When we look at Luke 16, he goes to Nazareth. Where is it? Oh, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. Jesus is hanging with the same people on the Sabbath, which is great. But the Sabbath is also the ceasing from all of our common labor. It's unique because this commandment is actually really fun. This is the longest one of all of these Ten Commandments, and it's one of two that has what we call a positive command. The first one being like, remember, do this thing. That's a good thing. You can do it. Not, don't do that. Negative command is no. Positive is do. Yes? Okay, good. Somebody said yes. Feels good. Yeah, the positive command is to remember the Sabbath. But the negative command is don't do any work. And I think God takes these commands pretty seriously. If we consider the man who is gathering wood on the Sabbath, in Numbers 15, verse 32, here's the story. While the people of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. Oh, no. This is not going to go well. And those who found him gathering sticks brought him to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation. They put him in custody because it had not been made clear what should be done to him. What are we going to do with this horrible person? And the Lord said to Moses, "The man shall be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones outside the camp." And all the congregation brought him outside the camp and stoned him to death with stones. I mean, yeah, as the Lord commanded Moses. The only thing I could think of after reading that was, sticks and stones may break my bones, but not practicing the Sabbath cannot hurt me. Just as clearly the case here. But on the flip side, in the positive sense, we can see the women preparing Jesus' burial in Luke 23. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. On the Sabbath, they rested according to the commandment. They were right to take spices to the tomb, but they still remembered God's law. To remember the Sabbath and to practice it. I remember being really young, because it was not terribly long ago, but long enough ago. But I do remember stores being closed on Sunday. And it's inconvenient, right, when you need something now, but everything's closed. But it was never a problem because we kind of knew that they would be closed, and so we just planned ahead. Maybe we would, like, substitute black beans for pinto beans or something, you know, if we needed to. And maybe the reason that they closed wasn't the most biblical reason. They're maybe not thinking, the Sabbath, we must keep the Sabbath holy. They're probably thinking, everybody else is doing it, so we'll close too, right? But it was at least enough of a biblical influence that informed our society to need a day of rest. In hindsight, it was actually a sweet experience to go to Chick-fil-A on a Sunday with it being closed. I'll just throw that out there. It's like a loving rebuke, you know? I should be at home not being at Chick-fil-A. You guys have no idea, do you? There's no Chick-fil-A around here in sight. It just breaks my heart. Yeah, going to Chick-fil-A on a Sunday is humbling, okay? It's like, oh yeah, I shouldn't be here. The Sabbath is for everybody. We just read in verse 10, on it you shall not do any work, you, that's me, or your son, or your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, livestock, or the sojourner who's within your gates. It's like, this commandment's for the whole community. This isn't just for one person, this is for everybody. Owners were not to shoulder their work on the backs of those entrusted to them so that they could get rest too. Work and leisure aren't divided amongst class lines. It's not like the successful people can put their burdens onto somebody else to get a break. Everybody gets to worship God. And everybody's free to rest in him on that same day. Even the animals got a break. It was given to all the community, so that there would be no striving, and that we would turn to him. The best way that I can think about it, or at least the only way I did at the time, was thinking about like cruise ships, right? Okay. Maybe it's like the Sabbath rest and cruise ship rest are not the same. I'm not saying cruises are bad, by the way. That's not what I mean. So I would, if you know, you ever want to take me on one, I would love to go. But it's not the same thing. On a cruise, there are those who pay to be served, right? I'm paying you money so that I don't have to do anything. But then there's also the people who are paid to serve. We'll serve you. It's a trade. It's commerce. And I know that they get paid, but that's not the point. This is instead a luxury that maybe only some can afford, and only for a certain amount of time. And it involves resting because of someone else's work. But God's rest that he commands isn't placed on the backs of other people. All are invited to do it, and nobody's excluded. I've worked with employers closely for a long time, so I know that shutting down business for a day is a really hard thing to do. Most of us have the sense that whatever market it is that we're in is a cutthroat market, right? Like HVAC is a cutthroat market. We got to have, like, what, fancier vehicles? I just got to make sure that guys show up, you know, whatever the thing is. But instead of maybe saying or asking the question, how am I going to keep up with the market, I just would be curious and maybe would hope that we would all ask these questions instead. Like, does my view of business come from a proper trust in God's plan for my work and rest? And how can I see this command as being for my benefit and for the benefit of my employees and my clients? That'd be an interesting question to ponder. But employees, it's hard to stop resting too. We want to move up the corporate ladder, right? We want to support our families. But are affluence and poverty really the only options for our American lives? Or can we settle for a holy contentment? Can we settle for that? Maybe we don't need to work all the time and we can trust that God will provide in his timing. We would, I think, all be served better by embracing this practice of work and rest. So, why do it? That's the last part of this, right? Verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Why should we rest? Because God made us creatures. God provides his reasoning in the act of creation. And since we bear his image, we should work and rest to respond in how he works and rests. We work 6 days because God worked 6 days. And we rest on the seventh because at the end of his creation, God rested. And it's not in this passage, but in Deuteronomy 5. This command is again repeated, but the reasoning's different. Verse 15. You shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day. Same command, different reason. It doesn't mean that one is right. They're both right. God commands the Sabbath here because he redeemed Israel from Egypt, and they're redeemed from their slavery in Egypt, where they worked 24/7, 365. The Sabbath wasn't a form of bondage then. It's actually a form of freedom. I've brought you from slavery to this pattern. So, as Christians, what has changed from what it was for Israel to what it is for us today? I think that the main change is how Christians see the Sabbath against the Israelites, and that we have a sense of a fuller deliverance. We no longer look back at the Exodus for our salvation, but we look to Christ, who accomplished a greater redemption by dying for our sins and rising again. We are no longer working as slaves to sin. Therefore, our rest is in the one who paid for our sin, Jesus Christ. We find rest by trusting in Christ's work on the cross and paying for our salvation, rather than depending on our own work for salvation, which could never really save us to begin with. We rest in the work that he's done for us. Just as the writer of Hebrews says, so then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. I'm going to confess something to you. I always thought that Sundays were the last day of the week because I apparently could never read a calendar. Maybe this is how I grew up or something. But It's really the first, right? The Sunday is the first day of the week. One of the things that's changed for us, too, is that instead of celebrating or practicing the Sabbath on a Saturday, we do it on a Sunday. That's unique. It's different. That's because Christ was resurrected on the first day of the week. That's why. John 20:19. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." They're gathered together on the first day of the week. This is the very day that he is raised. And it's the same day he goes and visits the disciples. Or Acts 20. On the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul talked with them, intending to depart on the next day, and he prolonged his speech until midnight. They're gathered in worship with Paul on the first day of the week. They break bread in regular fellowship. You'll see early church historians point to the same thing. It shifts from one day on Saturday, where the Jews would celebrate, on to Sunday, the first day of the week. The Sabbath is a display of our freedom in Christ by what he has done for it, and that day change reflects that. But since it's a display of freedom, how should we practice it? I like what Christ has to say about it in Mark 2. And he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Christ was always stirring the pot with the Pharisees, especially the Sabbath ones. He practiced healings inside the synagogues, and he ate grain outside the synagogues. I can just see them like in the windows, like, "Oh my goodness, this guy is killing us. He's the worst." He rebuked them for their sinful hearts regarding the Sabbath laws that they made, not the ones that God commands, but the additional things. Later on in Mark chapter 3, again, he entered the synagogue, Jesus, and a man was there with a withered hand. And they watched Jesus to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. They have no interest in anything other than accusing Jesus. And he said to the man with the withered hand, "Come here." And he said to them, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill?" But they were silent. And he looked around at them with anger, grieved at their hardness of heart, and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. I think Jesus loved playing games with the Sabbath. You guys don't know what it's for. For Christians, we're no longer under the wrath of the law of the Sabbath. Christ has become our rest. But we see God's heart in this. He wants us to work and rest rightly because he loves us. He knows best. But the responsibility we have is to resist our culture's temptation and false busyness to preserve a day of worship and rest. That's a hard thing to fight against. One of the reasons I don't like using a Bible on my phone is because of its convenience. Bear with me. You know, when everything on your device is clamoring for your attention, and it's accessible and it's centrally located, it makes everything and everyone accessible and centrally located. So when I go out of my way to like separate my Bible reading from everything else that I do on my device, like whatever, Sudoku puzzles, what else do we do on these phones? Call people? Do we even call people? Is that a thing we do? No? Texting, right? News reports, notifications, WhatsApp. I get a lot of those these days. But when I'm setting it apart, I'm distinguishing the value of the Bible from the other things that are trying to grab my attention. And it's just like a way for me to kind of help keep it different. This is separate. I treat this differently than I treat everything else on my device. So when everything's clamoring for our attention and time, we might need to think in this way, like disconnecting from the television, grocery store, Amazon wish list, stock report, to do the same thing with our rest. If our rest is to be holy one day a week, just like my Bible, I like to keep that separate, then maybe we should treat it the same way as the Bible. We shouldn't just keep everything all doing the same thing all the time. Not everything holy can be done with other things that aren't. That's like the definition of holy is set apart. And so when I say that, I don't want to promote like a legalism, because I don't think that's what Christ wants. But what I do want is I don't want to base our standing before God on what we do on Sunday. We don't have man-made regulations for keeping the Sabbath. The Lord's Day is for celebrating freedom. If we have regulations, it like defeats the whole point of having freedom in Christ. But I also don't want to give the impression that everything goes. I think in every culture that treats Sunday like any other day of the week, we tend to treat something mundane when it's supposed to be sacred. But it's sacred if God says it's sacred. Everybody is working for the weekend. I think we can do some great things on the Sabbath, though. Meeting together like this. I love meeting with you guys on Sunday mornings. I look forward to it every week. I love worshiping and singing with you. Meeting together in corporate worship, talking over meals, sharing our homes, talking about God's word or what he's been doing in our lives, serving in our community. It doesn't mean we have to lay in a hammock, though I look forward to that this afternoon. It does mean, though, that we are doing something that is for God's glory and we're resting in that. Sometimes it requires more planning. And then the questions rise, right? What should we do on the Sabbath? What can I do on the Sabbath? Can I watch TV? Can I study for class? That's me. Do I only get to play the Bible version of Apples to Apples? That's like, that's the only one that's on, that's fair. Turn with me to Colossians 2. I just thought of this. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. But what about like emergency work on the Sabbath? Like a baby being born on the Sabbath. Hold it in, you know? We can't, that's work. We cannot do that on the Sabbath. No. Even in Luke, Jesus is still talking about the Sabbath and he's rebuking the Pharisees and he says to the Pharisees, which one of you having a son or an ox that has fallen into a well on a Sabbath day will not immediately pull him out? Guys, we have to make exceptions for these things. We have to do good on the Sabbath. I think they're all fair questions. What can I do? Can I watch TV? Can I pull an ox out of a well? But they all kind of sound like, what can I get away with on the Sabbath? Does that make sense? Sometimes we ask that. It's like, well, can I do this? Can I do that? What can I get away with is really what we're trying to ask. And I think what I would rather do is reframe the question. What would honor God on a day for his holy rest? And let that be what convicts you to practice Sabbath rest in him. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would instruct me and all of us, God, on what would honor you today. Help us to set practices that will allow us to worship, not just when we're gathered together, but no less than when we're gathered together. You ask for one day, God, when you should have all seven, but because of your graciousness and your kindness, you establish this pattern of work and rest to us. I pray that you would teach us faithful habits and practices that help us consider your goodness and to teach your goodness to others, to our families, to our friends, to our church. Help us not to try to manipulate you to get to do what we want, because you cannot change, God. Instead, we ask that you would change our desires to seek a holy rest, to find that rest ultimately in Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Would you stand with us as we finish in song this morning?